Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Women of Golf Show. I'm your host, Ted Odorico, and right alongside me is one of the hardest working women in golf today, LPGA professional and Legends Tour player, Cindy Mercer. Welcome back.
Well, thank you, Ted. It's great to be back. How are you today?
Always doing good here. A little gray and foggy here in Florida. I don't know whether we got a little bit of cold pressure and hot pressure working together, but we got fog this morning, but it's still warm and warmer up in Buffalo this morning.
You are breaking up, my dear. It's hard to hear everything you're saying.
Yeah, I know. Let me just remind everybody that we are live every Tuesday mornings at 9 a.m. Eastern Time here on blogtalkradio.com, Women of Golf. You could get to us very easily by going to blogtalkradio.com and up in the search key type Women of Golf. Also, don't forget we are available for downloads through iTunes. So go to iTunes.com, go into the podcast section, type in Women of Golf, and you can also download us there. As I said, we are live every Tuesday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you want to speak to Cindy or I or any of our guests, you can call into the program at area code 347-945-5855. And if you want to contact either Cindy or I directly, you can contact me at ted.golftalklive@gmail.com, or you can reach out to Cindy if you're interested in coming on the show at cindy@cindymillergolf.com. Cindy, got a great guest this morning, Caroline Chisanga. She's the president of urgolf.net, and she's going to be joining us here in a little bit. But let's talk about some of the stuff going on in the golf industry here this last week or so. Let's start off first, Cindy, about Tiger Woods. There was some controversy that brewed over the internet about some alleged failing of a drug test. What did you hear, if anything, about it?
I just saw that the guy's name was Olson and that the PGA Tour and Ty Votaw said it was absolutely false, and that Mark Steinberg as well said that it was absolutely false, and that's about all that I've heard. What do you know?
Well, I guess he, Olson was on a, and of course he's a member of the PGA Tour, and from what I understand, he was on a morning program here this past Monday, I think, or a week ago Monday, and my understanding was he came out and said that the reason Tiger was not playing was he was under suspension from the PGA Tour for alleged failing of a drug test. For I guess some of the stuff that they're testing now on the tours, but later apparently retract that and said that it wasn't true. And I'm not sure what prompted him to do that, or if it's some sort of a cover up. I don't really know, to be honest. I just know that it created a lot of buzz online, just about everywhere you could imagine. There was talk about that. So I'm sure that Tiger's team. didn't appreciate the inference, and that's just makes another black mark, if you will, against Tiger's career. But
why did the Olsen guy even say it? I mean, what were his? Did he have facts?
This obviously he didn't have facts, or I don't think he would have you know, I don't really know whether he retracted it under pressure from the PGA, but Manning was the PGA Tour and Tiger's management team basically pressured him to retract it. So I don't know if this was, again, if this was something to cover up the story and sort of, you know, try to put it to rest, or if there was actually any truth to it. That I don't know. I haven't heard anything since, but that's essentially what happened. He came out with the accusation on a morning program in the I'm not sure if he was in Chicago or not at the time, but then later in the week, as I said, under pressure, I guess retracted his statement. So it remains to be seen whether there was any truth to it. It just seems a little odd for somebody to throw something to that, you know, that out there, if there's some kind of a story behind it. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, Cindy, in the weeks to come, if any more comes out of it. But it certainly it got some media types buzzing for a little while.
Yeah, I would guess so.
Pardon me while I take a little sip.
I'd love to ask the guy, you know, where did you hear that? And I'm sure somewhere on the internet it says that I need to do some homework and find out, you know, why would you say that?
Well, I just know this, Cindy. If you're going to go after a player of Tiger's caliber, you better have your facts straight, because he's not going to sit down lightly. And truth to the story in some fashion, it's really not his place to bring it out, and certainly in that format. You don't go on a morning program and blurt something out that unless you know darn sure. And even still, it's just not, it's inappropriate. That's for the PGA Tour if they need to make an announcement. As they did, if you recall, when they did with Vijay Singh, when there was the controversy around him and the deer antler spray. I don't know if you recall that a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
You know, the PGA Tour came out and made an announcement about that they were putting under suspension until, you know, pending an investigation. So, you know, until you hear it from the horse's mouth, you know, I take it with a grain of salt. But also, in a different note, I don't want to focus on Tiger for the whole few minutes we have here. But there was also some controversy, and maybe you could shed a little bit of light on Poulter having somewhat of a meltdown this past weekend as well. What's the deal on that? I don't hear too much about it, but I did hear about it.
Well, I was listening on the radio as they were playing the last few holes of yesterday's round, and he hit it in the water 5 times. So I would love nothing more than to interview him, and I haven't heard, you know, I'm sure that he didn't want to talk to anybody as he went away, but clearly something was going on. There was suspicion the day before during the third or the fourth, beginning of the fourth round on Sunday,
right,
that his glove might have, you know, been wet or sweaty or something and slipped, and that's why he hit that bailout drive to the right in the water. But something clearly was going on in his head. There is no way somebody plays that well and hits the ball that consistently and then hits such terrible, terrible shots. So, I mean, sure, a lot of amateurs were thrilled to see that happen because they now know that everybody misses shots. On the other hand, you know, it'll be interesting to see how he bounces back from this, because clearly something was going on in his head that caused him to do the bailout and hit such bad shots.
Well, and that goes to what you've talked about all along here earlier in our broadcasts. You know, you talked about owning your game, and we really focused, you know, on some of the topics that you talked about on the mental side of things. And this was clearly not a physical. I mean, you know, sweaty gloves, you know, slippery hands. I mean, that can happen out there. But there was clearly some sort of a mental breakdown here on his next shots, and hit that many into the water. Something clearly has happened. It's not a physical issue. It's clearly a mental breakdown, and it would be really interesting to hear what he has to say. And I'm sure the media is going to follow very closely a few tournaments that he's in. Going to be asking. That's a question I'm sure that's going to come up.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, I can relate to him because we kind of have the same kind of personality, and I'm sure he was trying too hard. And, you know, the tension level and the dominance and the adrenaline and a combination of all of the above, you know, because no one tries to miss it on purpose. We know that. I feel for him, and I want to say, holy cow, what happened? And we've got to be able to fix it. He may not even know what happened. You know, it could be a totally subconscious reaction.
You know, and there has been, you know, over the years, there's been players that's happened to. Remember back a number of years ago at one of the British Opens, and the player's name escapes me now, but, you know, leading the tournament and then just coming into the last few holes, just, you know, completely lost the tournament, and it affected his career. A lot of players, Ian Baker Finch has had issues in the past and ultimately ended up leaving the tour, just was not able to refocus again. And, you know, so we can't emphasize enough, Cindy, you've talked about this at length on this program and elsewhere about how important the mental game is.
That's because I've experienced it. and I can tell you, you know, that there has to be a balance between your dominance and then submissiveness. And when do you go for it and when do you lay back? And when are you protecting and when are you pursuing? And you can pursue, you know, either side of the equation is not going to work. And that, it's funny because we've got these mind meters that I purchased from Golf Psych that we can measure what's going on in your mind. I would have loved to have had a mind meter on Ian Poulter. And same thing with Patrick Reed. I mean, he was pursue, 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 and then all of a sudden, you know, it just goes to show that seeking an outcome, you know, it's almost always better to be striving after and pursuing rather than protecting. Because Patrick Reed did the same thing that Ian Poulter did. It was just that Ian Poulter happened to hit five balls in the water. And on the other hand, if you stop and think about Podrick, you know, same thing. And the Berger kid, who, God bless him, brand new rookie, which was great to see. But here he shoots, I don't know, 53 or 64, and he's sitting in the clubhouse for an hour or two waiting because he was pursuing, right? Well, then when he got in the playoffs, he was in the water. So it's like your subconscious mind says, holy cow, do you know how this could change your life? This is good. I can be in the Masters. I don't have to go to Puerto Rico tonight. You know, I'm going to be a winner. I can go to the Tournament of Champions. You know, and you have to shut that guy up and say, you got to focus on the task at hand here right now. And if you're not able to do that, it's over.
You know, I think a lot of the younger players, the up-and-comers right now, and even some of the players, I think it'd really take a note from the Jack Nicklaus playbook. You know, if you look at Jack's career, you know, we all know he was very mentally tough, but he didn't really practice, by his own admission, he didn't really practice you know, day in, day out as vigorously as some of these young guns do. You know, you saw him out, he'd warm up and he would certainly work on certain aspects of his game, but he worked on the mental side of his game for the majority of his career. And we all know by the stats, you know, 18 majors and, you know, so on and so forth that Jack Nicklaus has in his repertoire. It's not a power game, and it's not a game of who's hitting it necessarily the straightest all the time. It's who thinks their way best around the golf course. And I think some of these young guys out there, and even some of the seasoned veterans out there, are still focusing too much on trying to hit that perfect golf shot when really they need to be focusing on course strategy and handling their emotions out in the golf course.
Well, and Jack mentioned that when he was in the tower on Sunday afternoon, and he said you have to be able to think around the golf course. And if there's probably five situations where you really have to pay attention to what you're doing and hit a strategic shot. And the rest of the time on that particular golf course, you can just play around. So what he was absolutely, you know, talking about and strategizing and trying to tell Johnny and Dan Hicks in the tower that you have to think yourself around the golf course. And if you do that, you can come out on top. So it's kind of fun to see the old school and the wisdom. To me, it's like, let's sit and listen to Jack for a little bit. He's been there. He's done that. So.
Anyway. Yeah, and there's so many great, you know, players. Jack is certainly most notable on the men's tour, but there's a lot of great players, I'm sure, Cindy, that you could mention on the LPGA and on the Legends Tour as well, especially on the Legends Tour. A lot of these players that have had phenomenal player rounds, Kathy Whitworth, and you know, some of the other greats that have played on the LPGA Tour over the years and now, you know, showcasing on the Legends Tour, same thing. You know, it wasn't all about power game. It wasn't all about necessarily hitting it the straightest. They were out there. They knew how to think their way around the golf course, and that's what wins golf tournaments.
Well, and the other part of that is, and Kathy Whitworth is my hero, and she's the smartest woman in the room, and maybe player. You know, she could be up there with Jack and the rest of them. But they all played within themselves. They weren't trying to be someone they're not. And
right.
So it's very, very important. Rosie Jones comes to mind. She's such a hero of mine, and she's got such a funny-looking golf swing. She doesn't hit it very far, but she wins the most money because she's not worried about everybody else, and she's not thinking about what she doesn't have. She's taking what she's got. She's making the most of it, and that's really, really important.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Cindy, I see that our guest is ready to go here, so I'm just going to do a quick introduction, and then we'll bring Caroline out to join us. As I mentioned earlier at the beginning of the show, our special guest this morning is Caroline Chisanga. She's the president of urgolf.net, and she's really one in a million on today's green. She's a high school state golf champion and college golfer turned entrepreneur who switched a personal challenge into recognition in the golf industry in less than 2 years. She refers to herself as a geek with game and has brought her tremendous technical skills to generating income for golf courses, golf pros, businesses, and charities. And in delivering with such great results in her climb, Caroline said it was no thanks to TV Shark Tank. So without further ado, let's bring out Caroline Chisanga. Good morning, Caroline. Welcome to the Women of Golf. I'm not sure if she's made
here.
It on here yet. Hi, sorry, good morning. Welcome, Caroline, to the Women of Golf. I'm sorry, there you are. I pushed the wrong button. Welcome to the Women of Golf show.
I can hear you. Can you hear me? Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. We're thrilled to have you.
Oh, I really appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Caroline, I just mentioned very briefly just in the opening introduction a little bit about you, but I want to, before you start, I just want to tell let's get it right from, as they say, the horse's mouth. Explain a little bit about what your golf is all about and really what your mission is.
Well, your golf is basically a marketing company that we have three pillars that we build every single piece of our company on. One of the pillars is being able to deliver found revenue and supporting the golf industry. We make sure that every program we do benefits the golf courses we work with and gives them found revenue, but also a new way to build their, you know, the people that come in, members of their golf course, build awareness about their programs. The second pillar of our company is that we support charities with every program that we deliver. So we try to deliver at least 40% of every single dollar that comes into the company directly to a charity, 40% or more. And then
wow.
The third piece, yeah, it's exciting. and the third piece of the company is that, you know, we use technology to deliver high return on investment marketing to our clients. So not only are we able to, you know, support a charity with the programs that we're delivering and the golf course, but we're also delivering really happy clients because, you know, they're reaching an amazing demographic in the golf industry. And we're using technology to make sure that they capture names, phone numbers, email addresses from the people at these events. So they're able to actually reach out after the event, say thank you to the sponsors, say thank you to the players, and offer them some kind of a promotion or giveaway opportunity to continue trying to acquire them as a client.
Yeah. Tell me how it works. I don't know that I understand it.
Sure. Well, our most popular program is called Your Cart, and that is our golf cart sponsorship program. So let's say, for instance, right now we actually just formed a partnership with the PGA Tour's TPC Network of Courses. So every Monday there's a private course that's holding a golf event at all these different courses all over the country. And so what we'll do is find someone that would benefit from reaching this awesome marketing opportunity, you know, at the golf course. And we will put their information right on the front of all the golf carts. So we partnered with Fathead, and Fathead does our printing and delivers all of our product right to the golf courses. So the morning of the event, we would put the sponsor's information right on the cart, right at the TPC course, every single cart. And on the cart, it would say, you know, so-and-so, like Callaway, supporting the Birdies for Breast Cancer golf outing today, right? And so it would say it right there on the front of the golf carts all day. And then it would say right on there, text TPC Potomac to 80503 for today's giveaway. And brought to you by Callaway. So everybody texts in. It takes them 2 seconds to text in to the Callaway, you know, sweepstakes. And what that'll have on the back end of it is a text message will come right back to everybody right on their phone. It says, thank you for entering the drawing. At 2:30, we'll randomly select the camps. So at 2:30, we send a text message back to everybody. One person is the grand winner of a new Big Bertha driver. And everybody else gets 10% off one item in the pro shop or 50% off a beverage of their choice or whatever the golf course wants to promote. That way we're giving them a promotion to help build business for the golf course. We're giving them a promotion from Callaway, and we're creating interest in our sponsor. So now our sponsor, Callaway, can send out a message the day after the event to all the people that texted in and say thank you again for supporting Birdies for Breast Cancer. This is what we do to support them. Please join us. And then it can have a link right in the text message that takes them to Callaway's promotion website or the Birdies for Breast Cancer website, whatever they want to put on there. Yep.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So you're not getting email addresses. You're not getting email addresses. You're getting phone numbers.
Well, we get phone numbers, and then if they click on the link in there, they can opt right into whatever Callaway wants, whatever information Callaway wants to try to collect from them. So
perfect.
We can put on there a link, and they can opt in, or they can say thank you and not text in. It's up to them. But because of the great promotions we're running, we're getting like an 85% opt-in rate. So it's really,
really remarkable.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Now, who is
Caroline paying
you to do this?
Who is what?
Who is paying you to do this?
So Callaway would be the one paying for the space. So they're the ones paying for the space. And then 40% of their marketing spend would go to Birdies for Breast Cancer. And percentage goes right to the golf course as well.
You know what? You broke up a bunch and I couldn't hear you.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. I said, you know, then out of what Callaway spends, 40% of that goes right to the golf course, or 40% of that goes right to the charity, and then a percentage also goes right to the golf course. And there's no obligation from the golf course or the charity to do anything, pay any money to do anything to sign up. They just contact their website, sign up their golf course, sign up their outing, sign up their charity. One form they fill out, and then we just start offering them as an option for all these sponsors that come on board.
That's fantastic. Caroline, let me ask you, in the opening remarks, I mentioned about a comment that you had referencing the Shark Tank, TV Shark Tank. Did you pitch this idea, this business model to them? And if so, how did they react to your business model?
I did pitch it to them when I was first starting. I was looking for some capital to help me get everything rolling. And when I submitted, I submitted my application. My mom was actually the one that told me to submit an application to Shark Tank. And so I did that, and they wanted me to come on the show, so they asked me to make a commercial. So I made a 5-minute like infomercial and sent it in.
I'm not sure if we lost her or not, Cindy.
I can't hear her at all. I'm not sure where she went.
Yeah, I'm not sure if something on her end or not. But hopefully she can hear us. And if you can, Caroline, we might need to get you to call back in. It sounds like we may have dropped the call here. We can't obviously hear you, but has broken up a little bit here. So Caroline, if you can, if you're hearing us here, Might get you to call back in and we can continue on. And it looks like she just went off, so she'll call back in.
Explain to me, because I couldn't hear her when she was telling us how it worked. At first I thought she said Fatheads was a sponsor, and then she brought in Callaway. So I want to just make sure I understand, because I think this is a great opportunity for people to raise money for charity and have some tea gifts during a golf tournament.
Yeah, I think Callaway is obviously coming in as a sponsor, and I think what Callaway does is, from my understanding as well, I agree with you, we kind of got broken up there, so I wasn't 100% sure what she said, but I believe she said that Callaway actually was sponsoring it, and that's why they're gathering the information, and then, of course, the charity gets a percentage, and here she is here. Let me just bring her back on. Hi, Caroline. Sorry about that. No, that's okay.
Yeah,
you kind of broke up. I just want to make sure we understand, because it was a little bit choppy there, and Cindy just asked me while we're waiting for you to call back in. So when you're dealing in a tournament situation like you talked about there with Callaway, so is Callaway the one that actually funds the money for this particular tournament, and then the charity obviously benefits from some of the proceeds, or exactly how does that work? Can you just explain that just a little bit again?
Yeah, I mean, it's really simple. So if Callaway sees an opportunity at, let's say, at Torrey Pines, and they say, wow, that's a really great marketing opportunity for us, we're in. So they would say, we want to sponsor the carts, or maybe they want to sponsor the caddies for the day. We also have a caddy program. Their information would go on every single cart. They're the ones buying the ad space.
Okay.
And we just basically coordinate the relationship and say, hey, Tori, here's an extra, you know, $5,000 to go towards your caddy sponsorship fees for the day. So now the charity that initially would have had to pay for their caddy service, now they don't have to pay for their caddy service. Out of nowhere, we found a fit for them, and we can say, hey, either here's your money back if they've already paid, or, you know, here's $5,000 to go towards your caddy service. And the thing that's really cool is that we can customize it for every single course, every single event. You know, the dollar amounts are all variable based on the event. So it's awesome just how customizable it is and how great of a marketing reach it is. So,
well, thank you for clarifying that. And we apologize for having you make to repeat it again. But as I said, it kind of broke up there. So let's pick up from where my last question there, Caroline. You had submitted an application into Shark Tank and then did your promotional video in order to get, and then we lost you from there. So if you could pick up from there, that would be great.
Yeah, sure. So basically they asked for a commercial. I put together this 5-minute commercial, sent it in. They loved what we were doing, loved my energy and whatever reason they wanted me to come on the show. And, you know, they started asking me all these questions in the secondary interview. And I just kind of had this gut feeling like, man, I really don't think this is a good idea. I don't really want to disclose all these numbers and stuff on national television until my company's, you know, a little stronger, a little bigger and beefier. I turned it down, and I'm glad I did, because it's kind of amazing how the people that are in my company have come into my life. You know, I have the CEO, Rob DeSalvo, who's just absolutely amazing. I'm so blessed to have him on my team. He's such a great professional, knows so many people in the industry. He came from working with Golf Digest for 12 years. You know, I have a CFO that has, you know, 20 years experience in the field. I have a guy that came on that's running my operations for the company that worked for Caddy Master for a while. Amazing guy named Chris. You know, I just have this super great team of people, and I just feel like everybody's so mission oriented. You know, we all love the industry, we all love the charities we're helping, and it's just such a great group of people to work with. I'm so glad that I didn't go on Shark Tank. You know, just looking back, I'm just really glad I made that choice, for sure. So
it's funny how some things work out that way. That's awesome.
Yeah, and you know what, I met Lori West out here. I'm in San Diego, and so that's why I'm breaking up, because I'm out here. I get stuck out here for a couple of days longer than I was supposed to. But if you're going to get stuck somewhere, it's a good place to get stuck, right?
Absolutely.
But she said to say hi. So
perfect.
I'm on your show.
Yep.
Well, fantastic. Awesome. Caroline, let me ask you, you mentioned about your cart and obviously referenced your caddy. What are some of the other products that your golf offers, and maybe you can explain a little bit about how they work as well.
Sure. So your caddy again is basically the same model as the cart sponsorship, except we're using the back of the caddy. So where there would usually be the name of the course or the player, we put the sponsor's information and put the text to win thing there. With the caddy program, the other unique thing is that we actually train the caddies on the sponsor's giveaway opportunity. And so everybody at the event that's working with their caddy, the caddy's actually trained on reminding them, you know, don't forget to text in because that drawing's going to be in a couple hours. You're going to want to make sure, you know, it's a great opportunity to win a free Big Bertha driver, you know, whatever. That's really neat. And it's cool because I love golfing with a caddy, and I think it's a great piece of the industry that is sometimes overlooked. And then we have a GPS program, so we have your GPS, and you can imagine how that would work, similar to the other programs, except for putting advertising on the carts that have GPS systems. We have your score, which is our scorecard program. So a lot of public courses are, you know, really hurting for some kind of savings or found revenue, and with the scorecards, we're able to actually give them free scorecards. We print 30,000 scorecards for them. If it lasts them a month or if it lasts them a year, that's up to them. We basically just get one sponsor, though, and we do it a little more tastefully than some other programs that are out there. We only put one sponsor on the scorecards, and we try to use the same exact scorecards that the golf courses are currently using. So it doesn't change the look and feel or anything of what they're currently doing, unless they don't like their scorecards, and then we can change them up. But and then we have your GPS, your score. We have your BEV, which is our beverage cart program. And that was one of our biggest selling programs last year. You know, it's just a really fun turning the whole entire beverage cart into a moving billboard for one sponsor. And I think that's probably one of the most fun products to see come to life because it's such a transformation, and it protects the body of the beverage cart, and it's still a win for everybody. We're still raising money for the course. We're still raising money for a charity, and the beverage cart just looks really neat after it's done. It's all, you know, colorful and pretty. So, yeah, those are our main products, and we're coming up with unique ways right now to do all kinds of other stuff so we can – we can actually sponsor the range mats at different ranges, or the range ball machines, wrap the whole ball machine in somebody's advertising for the year. I always tell the course, I'm like, if you don't have carts and you don't have caddies and you don't have a beverage card and you don't use scorecards, we'll find another way to help you raise some money. So just tell me what you got.
It's really about helping bring, obviously, sponsors like Callaway, as you mentioned, together with some of the courses, and obviously ultimately benefiting charities. Let me ask you, Caroline, as well. I see here through some of our notes that you were an IT specialist for the government. You actually had a secret clearance for over a number of years. So you obviously have a very strong technical background. And obviously, you as you mentioned in your opening notes, that you are, as you consider yourself to be, a geek with game. Why? Mm-hmm. That's sort of a big transition from somebody being very technically savvy in the computers and that sort of thing. What sort of drew you back to golf to bring that talent back to golf?
Well, it kind of goes back to how I grew up. I grew up on a small island in northern Michigan, and worked at a resort there that had a golf course on the resort. And because of golf, I was able to go to college, for one thing. I was able to get a great scholarship to go to school. And a few years ago, I'll have our ups and downs. You know, I had a great season a few years back working with FEMA. I worked, you know, flew around directly with in a helicopter with the president. You know, I had some really crazy, you know, career experiences. And then I went through a really painful divorce, you know, and I lost everything. I lost my family. I lost my house. I lost my kids not lost my kids, but it felt like it when I had to share custody with somebody, you know. And so going through all of that, you know, it actually – I had to hide in a domestic violence shelter for about 5 weeks. I was homeless. I had a really, really, really bad, you know, drop out of the clouds into reality, basically. And so the shelter that I stayed at just
they were so awesome. You know, these women were just selfless people, and they worked with little to nothing in their shelter. You know, they had nothing,
right.
but they treated us like we're family, you know. And sorry. And I guess it was a turning point for me. You know, I was like, well, I can keep doing what I'm doing and sitting in a server room and not communicating with people and be stuck in this room working for the government, which it was a great career, but I felt like motivated and compelled to do something more. And I knew that the golf industry was such a great platform for what I wanted to do. My goal was to do something to change the world. I had no idea what it was, no idea how I was going to do it. And I didn't know the how, but I knew the why, and I knew what I wanted to do. And I started working with, you know, a couple of ideas that I had, and nothing was really coming to life. And then I got to the golf course one day, and at the time I was selling advertising on grocery carts, right? So you can imagine mm-hmm. me selling the little ads that go on the front of your grocery cart. And I was doing that. I was doing very well. It gave me the freedom to spend more time from home, and I was making decent money. So I was getting back on my feet, and I got invited to go golfing. And I hadn't been golfing in like 9 years. So I get to the golf course, and I stand in the tee box, and I look at a golf cart, and all of a sudden it was like grocery cart, golf cart. Wow. You know, just this idea came to me just like that. And I started, you know, I heard stories about golf courses closing that I had grown up playing in Northern Michigan. And I thought, what a great opportunity. You know, maybe we can save some of these golf courses, or maybe we can grow the game and bring more young people to the industry. And, you know, I just started having all these ideas, and 2 years later, now we're working with about 2,500 golf courses, I think. It's just crazy.
Wow.
And I think the reason we've been able to do so much is because we really all have our hearts are in the right place. You know, we really, really love the industry, love the charities we're working with, and want to do something good for all of them. So, yeah.
What a great story. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Caroline, let me ask you, because I want to ask you a little bit just in a second about charities again, but, you know, obviously with your background, not only your technical background, but obviously your personal background has really spurred this sort of energy to want to, you know, give back to a community that you obviously, not, and I'm not just talking the golf community, but also through the different charities. What's been some of the feedback that you've been getting through some of the partners that you're working with, whether it be sponsored partnerships or even some of the course? What's been some of the feedback here in the last couple of years?
Well, I mean, we have tons of renewals, so that speaks, you know, mountains for us, because being a brand new company and having somebody out of nowhere, you know, it was kind of an aha moment for me when I walked into a guy's office, never met me before in his life, and I walked out with a check for $5,000. And I was like, you know, that was my first big sale. This was in the beginning. You have to imagine, it was just me. I'm a techie person, so I built my own website. I made my own business cards. I made my own brochures, did my own graphics. I literally came up with every little detail you see by myself. You know, like, it was crazy. And then to walk into somebody's office and just be passionate about what I'm telling them, like, look, this is a great opportunity for you. I will be your personal, you know, rep, making sure everybody knows what you're doing, gets all this done right on time. And then to walk out with that check was just like, it was like, all right, I think I've got something here, you know. It's that moment where you're just like super excited. Yes, I did it. So then I was like, all right, now I really got to get to work. So, yeah, it's really cool to see these people that, you know, have no idea come back for more. So, yeah.
Yeah, that... Mm-hmm. That's obviously what you want, is to have that repeat business. Caroline, you've mentioned throughout the program about the work that you're doing with charities. Obviously, we
mm-hmm.
know why that's important. Well, it's always good to give back. How do you decide which, because there are so many charities out there, how do you sort of pick and choose, or how do you sort of decide what charities? Is it, you know, charities that are coming to you, or do you seek out charities that you want to help and say, hey, we've got an idea to help bring awareness to your cause? How does that work?
It's actually working every way you can imagine. Like, the charities are coming to us. Some of them are hearing about what we're doing from other charities that have been able to raise money with us. Some of them are just coming to us because they saw us online. But the majority of the charities are coming to us through the sponsors. So I used Callaway earlier as an example. if Callaway has a charity that they love supporting, they would say, this is a charity that we love supporting, and give us the point of contact there. So the sponsor is really the one that's choosing which charities they want to support in a lot of instances. But
right.
what we're trying to do is get some of these smaller charities, like the one that helped me, Hartley House in Frederick, which I love, and I hope somebody there hears this. I love you guys. but, you know, the charities that are the small guys that have a really great mission. So we're going out to them and saying, hey, you know, we may or may not raise money for you guys, but it costs you nothing to sign up. We put your mission up on our website, and we tell everybody about what you're doing. And that's really the cool part, is that it doesn't cost them anything. There's no obligation from them. The only thing we ask them is to be patient, because some of this stuff takes a few months to put together. And, you know, the other cool thing is, like, there is a lot of golf outings that go on that are not really associated with a charity in any way. You know, just
right.
like John Deere holds their corporate golf outing. Well, it's still a great marketing reach, right? But
yeah.
So what we do is we find a person that would benefit from that marketing reach, and we grab a random charity and raise $4,000 for them that day. You know?
Wow.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
very
fantastic.
Cool.
Yeah, and Caroline, just a final thought here, or question, if you will. Obviously, you're getting a lot of charities, and you're getting some repeat business. Again, what are some of the things that you're doing to reach out and contact corporate types like John Deere and Callaway and that? Is it sort of a perspective, a cold calling type thing, or are you going through some other partners in the industry to help bring this product or these products to more awareness? What are some things you're doing to do that?
I'm really just been blessed to have people, like I said, like Rob DeSalvo and my CEO. He worked with Golf Digest for 12 years, so
okay.
he knows tons of people in the industry. And then,
right.
you know, just having one golf course have successfully raised money through our program speaks volumes, because then, you know, one person saying something good about you in the golf industry and that you helped them raise money and they didn't have to do anything. I mean, some of the things people are saying is just so amazing. And I'm so grateful that, you know, we've been able to do what we're doing and been able to deliver on time with results. And so I just think that people want to work with us because we do have a good mission. And once they see and hear and feel, you know, what it's like to be a part of what we're doing, it's empowering. It's a really great opportunity to reach somebody with your marketing money and also do something to make a difference, support the industry and a charity. Why not? You know?
Yeah, that's incredible, and I'm all for that. I think anything that we can do, regardless of whether you're in the golf industry or not, that to help somebody else out, I think is more reward sometimes than even whatever accolades you may receive personally. And it's always good to give back, and a lot of people I think are starting to recognize that. If somebody is interested in connecting with you, Caroline, and learning about more about how your golf can help their either their charity or course or their corporate entity, how can they go about doing that?
Oh, man, I'm everywhere. you can find me on Twitter. I have two Twitter handles. I have one is Your Queen of Carts. That's my Twitter handle. And then I also have the company Twitter handle is at Your Cart. I'm on LinkedIn, so you can look me up on LinkedIn, Caroline Chisanga. Our website is the greatest place to go and get resources and find out more about our programs, key examples, and testimonials. And you can contact us right through the website, which is yourgolf, URGOLF.net. And, yeah, that's it.
Caroline,
and
great company. You should be so proud of yourself. This is amazing.
Thanks, Cindy. I'm super proud of what we've done, and I'm just excited to see what happens, because really our company launch is this April. So our first big rollout of the TPC event is in its first week of April. So we're really, really excited to roll out the campaign and start promoting, and you're going to see a lot about our company this year in the golf industry for sure.
That's fantastic. And, we want to wish you much continued success and thank you for really stepping up and doing something, not just creating a line of interesting products that are certainly going to help an industry that still at times is struggling a little bit with the recession, but also for helping so many of those charities out there that I know can use all the help that they can get as well. So thank you, Caroline, for stepping up and doing that, and thank you for joining us on the Women of Golf.
Thanks, guys. I really, really appreciate you having me on the show, and I'd love to come on again, give you an update later in the year.
We will have you do that. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Thank you,
bye-bye.
Caroline. All right, bye-bye. Yeah, that, you know, that's very interesting, and you know, I like really, I wasn't too much like you, I'm sure, I wasn't really 100% sure exactly how everything worked, but I think she explained it well, and what a great spokesperson for the company as well to, you know, share her story and really, really live. Sometimes I think you have to have a little, as I say, skin in the game. It's not just about having a great company and great products, but sometimes if you can relate to the end cause that you're really trying to accomplish, I think sometimes just gives you a different perspective. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. You can tell her passion and enthusiasm and motivation is in the right place, and her heart's in the right place. And so, you know, God bless her. I just hope this really,
yep,
really works and takes off. It sounds like it's supposed to, and it will. So it just shows you that, you know, out of trouble can come triumph.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's fantastic. And we want to thank again our special guest, Caroline Sanga of yourgolf.net. Thank you for coming on and sharing really a terrific story and about some great products. And if you want to learn a little bit more about how they can help your organization or your charity or even your golf course, you can go to yourgolf.net, and it's spelled URGolf, G-O-L-F, .net, and check them out. And I couldn't remember all of the Twitter handles and things, so you'll have to reach out through the website. But if you replay and listen to the show, you might be able to pick those up as well. But again, thank you, Caroline, for coming on and sharing what a great story. And you know, it just goes to show one of the things, Cindy, that I enjoy about us doing this show is we get the opportunity not only about to talk about a great game that we both love, golf, but we get to meet some really journey that are really just stepping up to the plate and doing some great things on their own. Some fantastic young ladies that just really want to own their game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what a great story and a great business she's created. We're very, very lucky.
Yeah, we certainly are, and love to hear from some of the great ladies that have been on here that play in the game as well. We love to have all of them on here, and we're going to have on the program. And Cindy, just in the last couple of minutes here before we close off, what's up and coming for you in the next few weeks? What have you got cooking on the Cindy Miller campaign?
Oh, that's a great question. well, you know, did I tell you about Trilogy Athletes?
No.
There's a company that's from Toronto, Canada.
Uh-huh.
Toronto, Ontario in Canada, and they are the locker room for life for elite athletes and Olympians.
Oh,
and
wow.
You should Google trilogyathletes.com. And everyone that's ever been a professional in any sport anywhere in the world can join trilogyathletes.com for free. And there's going to be different levels of membership. So you can join for free, and then you can also be in a peer group. It's going to be a place where you can connect with other athletes.
Right.
Where you can build your personal brand, where you can sell your products, where you get discounts on different things. And I am going to be a chair, which is like mentor or mom of a group of elite athletes, and help them continue their personal and professional success beyond their game. So I am creating a business plan for Trilogy Athletes, which I'm very excited about, and I'm building my group. And
fantastic.
It's very, 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 very exciting. So trilogyathletes.com, anybody that's, you know, played on the tour you know, been an Olympian, any sport, anywhere in the world. My group is going to consist of entrepreneurs who are trying to really build a business. So, and we're going to have experts available to help people grow and expand and build what they want to build and, you know, be successful, pursue their success long after their game.
Fantastic. And, you know, Cindy, I think that would be now when do you is that just sort of in preparation now? Or are you pretty much everything up and running on your end for that? Or when do you vision
and
that?
I'm in preparation and the company's going to launch in April. So I'm feverishly working back here along with trying to wait for the snow to melt in Buffalo and help a bunch of people get ready for the spring that may never show up. But I'm home for another month or so. I must tell you, I've got something else exciting. I've been asked to speak at the National Role Model Summit in Reno, Nevada at the end of April.
Wow.
So I'm going to be flying out to Reno and speaking at the Role Model Summit. What you do is they take all these athletes and Olympians and football players and you go to different schools and you share your story with all these students. So I am thrilled about that.
Well, I'll tell you, you're as they say, your dance card's getting pretty full. I mean, you know, I don't know how you have time to even go out and enjoy this game and play it. You know, you've just got so many things that you're doing, but that's fantastic. And Cindy, the reason why I asked that question is maybe a little bit later on, either in April or even maybe advance a little bit further in May, I would love you to come back and talk. You know, this group that's out of Toronto, and talk a little bit more about that. And once you've got all, you know, everything in place, and also share. You know, your rollout in Reno, Nevada as well, and talk a little bit about that. I think it's great that, you know, Cindy, you do so many wonderful things for this game and give back. And you want to, you know, ladies and gentlemen that are tuning into the broadcast, I want you to, you know, we had a great young lady that was on here, Caroline Chisangra, but I want you to really take note of another terrific lady, Cindy Miller, who really gives so much. You know, I'm serious, and I, you know, I'm not just saying this because you're here doing the show with me, but it's true. You know, I listen, which is unusual for men because men don't normally listen very much, but I do listen. I'm one of those few that listen, and you know, I hear a lot of the things, you know, through these programs and when you and I have talked and that about some of the things that you do, and you know, you're really a very selfless person. You know, a lot of people really, it's all about me and it's what can I do to better myself, you know, and my circumstances, but you really do a lot to give back, not only to the game, but also to just all of those that you touch. And it's just, you know, kudos to you, Cindy, for all the things that you do.
Well,
and I don't know
you.
How you do it. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you have the time to be able to spread yourself that much.
I have two modes. I'm either speeding or dead.
Well, you're definitely in the speed
mode. And you know
what?
I wouldn't want it any other way. I just get, you know, I don't want to be yucky and depressed and have nowhere to go. You have to have a vision and a mission.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I agree. I'm 100% behind you on that. And Cindy, as always, it's a pleasure doing this program with you every Tuesday morning. And it's just, we've got some great, interesting guests that come on the show. And it's just interesting. I just really enjoy listening to some of the guests that we have on. They're all great. And I really enjoy listening to some of the legends of the game that we have on. And I hope we're going to get some more coming on this year.
We are. Next week we do. This weekend is the Walgreens Charity Classic in Phoenix. And unfortunately, or fortunately, there's too many people turning 45 that want to play, so I didn't get in the tournament. So I'm sitting back in Buffalo, but hopefully we're going to have the champion on our show next week.
Oh, fantastic.
Along with the director of the LPGA Golf Clinic for Women. So we're going to promote the clinics for the year. Melanie Bedrosian is going to be on with us next week, and we're going to discuss all the LPGA golf clinics for women. So all you women who need to learn how to play golf and use it as a business tool, stay tuned and be with us next week, along with hopefully the 2015 champion of the Walgreens Charity Classic.
That would be fantastic. And I just want to take this opportunity as we close off, Cindy, not only to thank you, but I want to thank all of the listeners from around the world that tune into this program, not just the ladies, but I know there's a few guys out there listening as well. I know that for a fact. We certainly appreciate you tuning into the broadcast each and every week, and thank you for your support. And we thank you for great guests like Caroline that share their time with us on the program every Tuesday morning. So remember, guys and gals, tune in every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at blogtalkradio.com. Go up in the search key, type in Women of Golf. If you missed today's broadcast, not a problem. It's all the broadcasts are auto-recorded, so you can go back and you can go to that link and you can listen to the show in its entirety. And you can also go down through the on-demand section and listen to any of the shows that you might have missed. And I suggest you go back, go way, way back and listen to, and start from the beginning, but listen to a great series that Cindy brought to the show all about Own Your Game. It was a great series. I think there was 12 episodes, if I'm not mistaken. So go back from start to finish, listen to all the broadcasts, keep throwing your support. And if you're interested in coming on the show, if you're in the golf industry, whether you're a player or whether you're somebody just a young entrepreneur or an old entrepreneur, we're not going to be difficult here. So go to Cindy@CindyMillerGolf.com. Email Cindy and let her know your interest coming on the show, and she will fit you into the schedule. But otherwise, thank you very much for joining us this week. Cindy, have a great weekend. And look, I'm excited about next week's show. And we will see you next week right here on the Women of Golf. Thanks, Cindy.
Have a great week. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.